Welcome to the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, where I talk to entrepreneurs and business people from all walks of life and all levels of success, from millionaires to the people who are just starting out, and everyone in between. My objective is not only to learn about their businesses and goals, but about their challenges and fears as well, all with the hopes of helping them and you find a pathway to success.
Welcome back to another episode of the Entrepreneur Hot Seat, and I am really excited today to be joined by my friend Larry Hagner. And Larry Hagner is, of course, the creator and host of the Good Dad Project, which is a weekly podcast aimed at helping men become the best fathers and husbands they can be, as well as the Dad's Edge community online, a community of which I've been a part of for several months now, as well as a listener of your podcast and follower, and been lucky enough to get to know you a little bit over those few months, Larry. And it's just an absolute honor and privilege to have you on the Entrepreneur Hot Seat podcast.
Man, it's awesome to be here, man. I mean, I've gotten to know you pretty well here recently, and it's good to have you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. So, Larry, what I would love to start with, and I know you probably get this with a lot of the podcast interviews you do, so you got your story down, but I want to start with a little bit of your background, specifically, thinking about getting this podcast and this community started, which has become, I believe, quite a business for you. How did that all get started, and how did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, it really started with my own struggles as a father. I really kind of struggled with it. I've been a dad for 11 years. Struggled with it for about half that time at least. And, now I've, in the past 5 years, I've been doing the Good Dad Project. When I first started the Good Dad Project, it was mostly me. I was the project because I really wanted to just find some strategies and work on myself and be the best version of who I was. I just really didn't know how to do that. I didn't have the compass to do it at the time. So I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to do this the best I can. And learn some things along the way. And if I can share it, then I'll share it along the way as well. And that's really what the podcast has become, is more of a public platform of me sharing what I'm learning as we go.
Yeah, I've noticed that. And I love that you kind of use as an opportunity to bring on different guests to cover topics that you yourself are interested in. And of course, you being sort of representing all the dads out there, not just in the US, but across the world that are interested in learning these different things, not just how to become a better father or a better husband, but even a better man, better at business, better at relationships, all these things, which is just amazing. And how big has the podcast gotten now? How many listeners do you have?
I don't know how many listeners. We're always in between 100 to 150,000 downloads per month. It's downloaded in 165 countries right now. It's going great. I mean, the podcast's going great. We actually have two shows per week. I always call it the big show. I have no idea why I call it the big show. I wasn't that big of a fan of pro wrestling growing up, but yeah. The big show is always on Mondays. That's where I usually interview some sort of elite guest. I've been blessed with UFC fighters, and I've been blessed with New York Times bestsellers and Navy SEALs, and it's been awesome. It's been a huge blessing. Every show that I do, I get to learn something new. And the cool thing about it is I just get to share those things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. I think, it sounds like you started that for the same reason I'm starting this podcast, which is I love talking to people and learning things and, finding out more about others and the world. So you got the podcast going, and then what about the community? How did that get started? How far into the journey with the podcast did you start this Facebook community, and what were your intentions? What did you imagine, and how did it get to where it is now?
When I first started the Dad Edge community on Facebook, it's a private group. You have to request entry into it. So it's not like a public page where you can just like it. You actually have to go request entry into it. You'll find a link to get into that group on any one of my podcasts, especially at least the most recent, say 30 to 40 of them. There's always a link in the show notes. So you can find that in the resources. I always tell guys, if you want to become a part of that conversation, because we have conversations and you're a part of that. We have conversations all day long. The page is actually hard to even keep up with at this point. What guys will do is they'll pose questions in there. of things that are going on in their lives, whether it's things they're trying to accomplish, you know, whether they, hey, like I'm trying to get healthier, you know, I'm trying to improve my health as a dad, but I'm limited on time. What are you guys doing? Or I'm trying to build wealth. You know, what are you guys doing out there to invest more money in maybe a 401k or an IRA, or what are the things you are investing in? Or sometimes it's a struggle, you know, like, hey, I'm struggling with my marriage. I'm struggling with my kids, and I have teenagers. I have, you know, I have to find kids, and I can't seem to figure this out. Like, does anybody have any insight? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The cool, you know, when I first started the page, and I guess that was probably about a year ago, I didn't really have any intentions on it other than like, I just wanted a place where the, you know, everyone always talks about your list, you know, your subscriber list, right? Which is great, but the subscriber list is that's a way for you to talk to people. You know, it's not necessarily a way for them to talk back. And the other thing too, is it's not necessarily a way for them to talk amongst each other. It's pretty much a one-way conversation, which can be pretty darn boring, right? So what I did was, is I had this idea after I launched my book called The Dad's Edge on Amazon. I was like, you know, I saw kind of a brand shift go from the Good Dad Project sort of to The Dad's Edge. I mean, when I first started The Good Dad Project, it was kind of like this soft sort of, maybe more sensitive side with guys. And to be honest with you, I really didn't resonate with it. I had a hard time with it, but I thought that's what the audience wanted. And what I found was, is that the best gift you can give your audience is your authentic self. So if you're not really digging your brand, chances are other people aren't either. So, I mean, the brand was still doing well, but when I launched The Dad's Edge, I would say that's when I launched the authenticity, the rawness, the realness, the no holds barred, the imperfections, you know, the messiness, the getting your hands dirty, you know, like kind of doing away with the highlight reel on Facebook of like everything sunshine and rainbows and unicorns. Mm-hmm. You know, being a dad, it's one of the most rewarding aspects out there, but it's messy. It's messy. It's hard. It can be a challenge, you know, and everyone around you, you know, we can put undue pressure on ourselves that we have to execute this fatherhood thing absolutely flawlessly. And anything, you know, anything less than that, we're failing. So when I launched The Dad's Edge, it was a bit more raw, you know, it was a bit more, you know, messy and to the point and direct. And what I found was, is that men really resonated with that type of brand. So if you look at, I guess, my brand of The Good Dad Project, it still is and always will be The Good Dad Project. But I would say The Dad's Edge is a brand underneath The Good Dad Project. And the brand really is, that's where I call, you know, the name of the company is The Good Dad Project, but The Dad's Edge is the place. The place where we can come together, you know, on that Facebook group. We can talk about real life. We can talk about real things and get real-time advice from other men who have either been through it, are going through it, or chances are they're going to go through it. So we have a lot of guys who engage with questions and a lot of guys who learn along the way. And, you know, it's amazing. One question from one man will usually spark, you know, a conversation of 50 comments. Those 50 comments, when people read through those things, will literally shift the compass of someone's life. I truly believe that. People have made grand shifts just by reading, you know, what we're doing on that page.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that it completely resonates with me. Like I said, at the kind of the top of the show, I've been a member of that community for several months now. And it's just been amazing how many guys that are in there that are being open, honest, vulnerable, posting really tough questions about anything, like you said, from, you know, dealing with difficult children to their marriage to anything, and other guys jumping in with their recommendations. So many people that can relate to that stuff. So it's just become kind of this fantastic resource, really great community. And it's interesting you mentioned, you know, Facebook being kind of the highlight reel. We talked about this a few weeks back. I've heard a couple quotes, you know, to kind of the extent that, you know, you shouldn't compare your whole life to someone else's highlight reel, right? Which is what you often see on Facebook, and you think these people are they just got it made. And I was just talking with another friend on another episode, Dusty Rollins, the other day about you see these guys driving around in luxury cars and you wonder how they're doing so much better than you. And it turns out that, you know, maybe they're just stretching to make that payment and not everything else is going that well. And what I love about that Dad's Edge community is it is so raw. So many people that are just open and sharing all that's going on. And I think you've built it up to what, something like 4,000 members now?
Yeah, we're up to over 4,000 members now. It grows by 5,200 every single week. And it's just been, it's been a great experience.
That's fantastic. So along the way, I mean, you've been doing that for what, close to 2 years now?
I have been doing, you talking about the Dad Edge group on Facebook?
Yeah.
No, just, I would say about a little over about, maybe about 15 months.
About 15 months. Okay. So, yeah. And when you started that, I know it was a little bit more authentic for who you are. You said you didn't have like a definite intention with it, but did you have some hopes and what were your fears along the way as well, that you know, maybe things weren't going to work out or you were starting to get challenged with things that weren't going the way you thought they might?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always have fears every time you launch something. I really wasn't too concerned about it because it's a free resource, you know. It's a free resource where guys can either choose to be there or they don't, you know, they don't pay any money to be there. We do have a membership site where we take basically what we do on the Dad Edge, because it's all type and screen, you know, when it comes to the Dad Edge. We have a whole nother membership site called the Dad Edge Alliance, which runs similar to the Dad Edge, but it's all live interactive. So we have weekly calls, weekly virtual meetups on Zoom, where you're in a Zoom meeting, and we do this sometimes once a week, depending on twice a week. We have guest speakers. We've had intimacy and relationship experts. In April, we've got a professional baseball player, Todd Stottlemyre, coming to speak to our community. We're going to have some Navy SEALs. We're going to have football players. So we take the things that we type about in the Dad Edge, and we actually get to have live conversations in the Dad Edge Alliance. But I think when I launched the Dad Edge, it was really just, I didn't have many expectations about it. You know, I opened it up. I think I invited a bunch of guys that I knew would like it. And then I shared it here and there, but it was more or less the guys who were there sharing it because they got value out of it. And then I guess it was probably about 6 months ago, 7 months ago, I had an idea. I was like, you know, a lot of people like this, but I'm sure not a lot of people know about this. What if I just mention it on my podcast and let them know that there's a link in the show notes that if they want to get involved with this, they certainly can. That's when we saw the growth really start to just skyrocket. And now, I mean, before, I used to feel this heavy responsibility to be a part of that community, and I am very much part of that community, but the community really runs itself now. You know, it's really these guys who are asking questions, helping each other, doing things, and it's become more of a platform for everyone. So I did have fears. I guess my fear was, well, you know, how are people going to find this? Or, you know, are people going to think it's cool? Or, you know, will people leave? And, you know, sure, all those things happen. You know, we've had minimal people leave. But one thing I will say about fathers, and I've had to learn this the hard way, that being a father, men hold this very, very, it's an intimate subject for men. Very, very, very intimate. We don't talk about, it's kind of like Fight Club. We don't talk about it. You know, I can't remember what else he says about Fight Club, but we don't talk about Fight Club and outside of Fight Club and all that. We don't, and being a father, we don't talk about our accomplishments. We don't talk about our struggles. We don't talk about anything. In fact, if anyone asks about our life, we use two words. It's fine and it's good, or it's good and it's fine. Sometimes it's fine and good, you know, and you know what I mean? And, most men want to have deeper conversations about fatherhood and what it means to be a man and what it means to be a husband. What I've learned about the Dad's Edge is that if you're going to have conversations like that, you have to do it in an environment where it's cool. And I know that sounds odd, but you have to do it where it's cool. You can't do it where it's fluffy and sensitive and kumbaya and let's talk about our feelings. You have to do it in a way like for there's a way to talk about what's going on in your life and your feelings that doesn't include like, hey guys, I'm about ready to cry and I need to talk about my feelings. I think the best way to open up a conversation is like, hey guys, like I got this going on, you know, with my teenager. He's not listening to me, having a hard time getting him motivated to do his homework. He's being pretty defiant. I really need some advice. Are you guys seeing this in your life? And if you are, what are you guys doing about it? That to me is a platform where guys can talk about the same topics, but they do it in a way where it's like, I'm seeking your counsel. I'm seeking your advice. And what do men like to do best? We love to give advice.
They like to help people.
We love to help people. We love to problem solve. In fact, it really can piss our wives off when we do that. They don't really like that so much. They like us to listen. But when you're talking to another man, you know, we like to give direction.
Yeah, it's funny. That reminds me, you know, our mutual friend, Jason McKenzie, in his book, The Dadly Book of Open, he talks about, and I've told a lot of people this idea that a lot of men are love to help people and give advice, but ironically, they never like to ask other people for help.
Oh, you're right.
And so, you know, when they finally realize this ability to be a little bit vulnerable, if you'll do that and actually ask other men for help, you're sometimes actually doing them a favor, because men love helping other people, right? You're giving them an opportunity to do that. And you see in the community how often people jump on these things to share their experiences and provide some advice, like you said.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what I want to find out now is, you know, you've got this podcast, you've passed over 100 episodes now. And you've got the community growing past 4,000 members. You've got this alliance. And I know you have started to turn this into a business for you. So where is revenue coming for you now? You've got sponsorship with the podcast. I think you have this paid community. You also have mastermind groups. Is that where everything's coming from now? Are there other avenues of revenue for you? And so how is the business making money?
The business is making money through, so I have a book online called The Dad's Edge. It's actually online. It's a paperback. It's also a Kindle and an audiobook. It's on Amazon. I didn't know this, but for all those authors out there, as you look at entrepreneurship and if you're looking to do a book, don't pass up the audiobook or the Kindle book or the paperback. Don't launch just one, because I didn't realize this at the time, but so I went about 9 months without an audiobook. I had a Kindle and a paperback. But if you look at our society and what we're doing, we learn on the go. And technically, yes, it's one book, but it's three different ways to buy it. So technically, it's three revenue streams. So as people think about, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're listening to this and you're writing a book, my advice is invest in, you know, an audiobook. It definitely pays dividends, because people like to learn on the go. People like to learn in their car. Yep. People like audiobooks.
And everybody's got their own way that they like to devour books. I know some people that only read on a Kindle. Some people that tell me they love the tangible, you know, they want to hold the book. And I have some friends that when I recommend a book, they say, great, I'll get it on Audible and I'll listen to it on my commute. And that's how they listen to books. So everybody consumes the stuff differently.
They do. They really do. So I would say that's three streams of revenue. Another stream of revenue is mastermind groups. Now, we've been doing these for a long time. Over a year, we've had probably over 200 men go through our mastermind program. It's a 16-week program. You're actually a part of one right now. But it's a curriculum that basically helps develop several different areas in a man's life. So for instance, core values. You know, we discover core values in mastermind. We also get our relationships in check. And what I mean by that is most of us are walking, you know, we're busy fathers, we're businessmen, we're entrepreneurs. We sometimes are bad about, me included, putting that relationship with our spouse on automatic pilot, you know, and we just sort of do the same things over and over. And then we look at that person in 10 years and you're like, oh my gosh, who are you? Right? So you have to be very intentional on how you love that person and make sure that they receive love in their particular way and not yours. So what we do is we help men understand, number one, what their own love language is. And we also help put them through exercises to help them understand what their wives' love languages are. We also go through different financial exercises as well. finances, the stress of finances can wreak just havoc in our lives, on our stress levels, on our relationships, on our lives. And 60% of divorces are because of finances. So what the other thing that we cover is we cover, how do we become more financially fit? How do we do that? We talk about several different ways. We also help the men uncover a lot of what their emotional ties are to money. And most of us will go our entire lives, we will never understand this ever. So like, if you're the type of person where you feel like you never have enough money, no matter how much money you have, you're always in this scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most guys don't understand where that comes from. Yeah. And then you have other guys who will spend every single penny that they ever earn, and they don't care about the future. And they're like, well, where does that come from? And what that does is if that's out of balance, your financial life is going to be out of balance. When your financial life is out of balance, you're out of balance. Your relationships are out of balance, which is going to throw you out of balance. So we get that part tightened up pretty quickly too. And then the last thing that we do is we talk about health. Most men don't talk about their health, won't focus on their health, but focusing on your health is critical. Without your health, you are not the best version of who you're meant to be. And most men will neglect their health because of either time or guilt, one of the two. That's our mastermind, and that's a 16-week long process. And what men start with on the front end and what they end up with on the back end, their lives are totally changed. They're totally changed. They now, instead of having a hammer in their toolbox, now they have a tape measure, a hammer, a screwdriver, a chisel, and they're walking around with a full toolbox, and they know how to live life better and differently. And in Mastermind, we live life together. So masterminds are, it's incredibly fulfilling. Love doing masterminds. The men who, we've sold out every single group we've ever done, and the men just absolutely thrive in these groups. That's another way, obviously, we generate revenue. Speaking events is another way I generate revenue. I'd probably do about 12 a year, give or take. One-on-one coaching is another way. And then affiliates. So I do work with some affiliates on, but it has to be, in my mind, it has to be, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go and be an affiliate for, gosh, I don't know, chocolate or something. Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
Something like, you know, that's not in line with the values of what you're for your organization.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I had one company reach out to me that was jeans, and I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, every guy wears jeans, but I don't know if that's really in line with the message, you know? We're picky and choosy about that, but we do have affiliates.
I can tell you that down here in Florida, I don't wear jeans very often. It's pretty much shorts every day. But anyway,
thanks for rubbing that in.
Yeah, sorry, I digress. So yeah, you've got the book, the mastermind groups, the speaking events, the one-on-one coaching, the affiliates. And then you mentioned earlier, the Alliance as well has become revenue stream for you, right? So you have the kind of the premium group where you have speakers and Zoom calls and ways for guys to interact more than just typing on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. So the Alliance is, so there's a difference between what I call our Elite Mastermind curriculum, which is what I just described, what that is, 16 weeks long. And then there is something called the Dad Edge Alliance. The Dad Edge Alliance is like our, it's our basic entry level, what I would call mastermind. These guys, you know, the structure is a bit different than what's in the Elite. The curriculum is very different, but the content is absolutely fantastic. The Alliance guys and the mastermind guys are both in the same community. We call those guys the Dad Edge Alliance, whether they're masterminders or just basic entry, you know, basic Alliance guys. Both groups are exposed to monthly speakers if they want to be a part of it. But like I said, the mastermind group is a diehard curriculum with results. And it's also, you know, we have we limit those groups to 10. So only 10 guys per group. The Alliance doesn't have a limit. So you can have as many guys, you know, you can have up to 30 guys on a weekly call if you want. The mastermind guys, it's 10 guys, it's 16 weeks. These guys, and you can tell from your experience, these guys get very, very, very tight. The relationships that are built are second to none. The other thing we do in Mastermind that we don't do in the Alliance is accountability. So most of our guys come to Mastermind, they want to achieve something, whether that's they want to get their health in check, they want to get their current financial situation in check, they want to start a business, they want to complete a project, or they want to fix something. We keep everyone publicly accountable for what they're working on, and we formulate SMART goals around that. So we push and pull our guys to greatness. The Alliance is a little bit more, it's a more loose setup, but not every guy wants that type of tight structure that we have in Mastermind. Some guys just want the tribe. They just want the tribe. They want to be able to talk to their teams, you know, their Alliance teams every single week. And we have team leaders that that help facilitate those calls, and they want to be exposed to the community. And plus we have a bunch of other free stuff that the Alliance gets access to, like a membership site, free books, and free recordings of community calls and a video library and all that good stuff.
Yeah, really some great content in there and opportunities. But I do have to say that, you know, like you mentioned, I am a part of the Elite Mastermind, one of the Elite Mastermind groups right now. And it has been an absolutely fantastic experience. I've made some really great friendships, learned some great stuff, made some changes in my own life as a result. Just really has been a completely life-changing experience. So thank you for that. And I also wanted to say that, you know, really any ambitious people, and especially entrepreneurs out there thinking about that type of thing, if you're not going to hire a coach, at least consider trying to join a mastermind group somewhere, because having some people around you to be able to discuss the challenges you have, to be able to talk with you about your goals and hold you accountable, like you said, is huge. When you think about people going out and trying to achieve goals, you know, there are studies that show that, you know, just the act of writing it down will increase your chance of succeeding by 30% or so. But the act of actually telling someone else and having them hold you accountable is going to increase your chance of reaching your goals by another 60%, something like that. And so, you know, whether it's a really good friend that is going to keep you in check, or actually hiring a coach, or getting involved in a mastermind group where people know what your goals are and are going to check in with you. Like, for instance, you mentioned we're doing that in our mastermind group now. We have a shared document. All 10 guys in the group have put their goals up there. We were updating them last night. I can see where guys are on their path. I can check in with them. I can send them a message and say, hey, you know, you haven't done this. You said you were going to write this amount of your book, or get your podcast started, or lose some weight. You know, what are you doing? What can I do to help you? And having someone with you like that on your journey can just make an absolutely huge difference. So can't recommend that highly enough.
Yeah, it's so rewarding. I mean, to see guys achieve greatness. I just interviewed a guy by the name of Eric Weinmayer. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he's been the first and I believe the only blind man to summit the top of Everest. Just an incredible, wow. Yeah, just an incredible feat. He's coming up on my podcast here soon. We already recorded it. I saw him speak in 2007, and you know, the premise of his entire interview, like, I thought we were going to be talking a lot about, you know, how did he do it? You know, get to the top of Everest. I mean, he has summited, I think, 7 of the tallest peaks in the world now. But Everest obviously is the largest. So, and by a blind man. So we got to, you know, the subject of summiting Everest and fatherhood and life. And he kept talking about this idea of a rope team. And I was like, a rope team? I was like, well, what is that? And he's like, it's critical in your life to have the right rope team. He's like, without my rope team, I would never have achieved my goals. He's like, and if you don't have people in your life who are your rope team, you will not achieve your goals. You know, you have to have strong, like-minded people around you that are going to push you when you start to slide, or someone who's at the top, who's ahead of you, is going to pull you when you start to slide. Everyone needs someone in front of them and someone in back of them, someone to watch their 12 and their 6 at all times to make sure that they are moving forward. Because I believe the success rate of someone who's going at their goals completely alone is literally about 10 to 15% success. Now, when you start to involve other people on your rope team, and you're publicly accountable for what you're doing, that success rate goes up exponentially because you're publicly accountable. I mean, why do you think people do this thing where they do a public, you know, 30-day no sugar challenge on Facebook, because they have to post every single day. You know, are they doing it or are they not? And if they try to do it quietly, they might get to like day 7 and they're like, no one knows.
No one's really watching me anyway. Yeah. So
I'm good. So I'll just let this go, eat this candy bar.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And as we get into this stuff, we learn more and more. All these successful people almost always have teams around them that they give credit for. And I've done a fair amount of mountaineering myself, mostly around mountains in the US. And it's always been with an awesome team of people, of friends that could, you know, help push me, hold the ropes, make sure that nobody falls, because we're all accountable to each other, which so I completely understand that. And always enamored by stories of Everest. Don't plan on going there myself, but I'm looking forward to listening to the podcast. I do have some friends that have been up there, and it's pretty crazy. So anyway, getting back to the business, you know, the Dad's Edge and the Good Dad Project. Where is this going from here? What's your vision for what this is going to look like 3 to 5 years from now, or even more?
I think 3 to 5 years from now. So I'm getting ready to launch another book. It's a children's book. I think our launch date is going to be, I think, May the 1st. But it's going to be there's so many books out there for moms and kids,
but oh there's my very God, few, so many,
it's crazy. You look on Amazon, they're everywhere, but there's very few books out there that are for dads to kids. So my vision, you know, that for even for something like that is I was like, I want to create something that men can read to their kids, that, because men are usually, we're not so great communicators anyway. And in a very masculine
way. Speak for yourself, Larry.
Right. But in a masculine, but yet soft way, tell those kids how you feel about them. You know, how important they are to you. I mean, I think especially when our kids are little, dad goes off to work. And I mean, I think the kids think like they go off into some black hole and dad's not thinking about him. He's focused on work and that's all he does. And then he comes home. But you know, I really wanted to illustrate points like that, of like, when dad's not with you, you're with him, you know, things like that. 3 to 5 years, you know, I want to create another book. I foresee the Dad Edge Alliance being hundreds of guys who are part of that group. The Elite Masterminds just being a huge part of this as well. But I, you know, the Good Dad Project, the Dad's Edge, I want this to be, you know, the hub of where guys feel that they can go and get real-time advice, real-time support, and key into a tribe of like-minded men.
That's awesome, man. I can see where it's going, and it's just going to keep growing from where you are. By the way, the note in the book, I love that. I had you in mind the other day because I know you were doing it, and someone gave us this book that's like Mommy Loves You or something, and I picked it up and tried to read it to my daughter the other day, and I tried to change the title to Daddy Loves You, and she was like, nope, it's Mommy. It's Mommy. That book is Mommy. She's all about the rules. You know, you got to, I was like, no, but let's just read it as Daddy. She's like, no, this book is about Mommy. So I'm like, right. All right, I'm going to have to find another book. I guess I'm going to have to wait for Larry to come out with his so I can read the Daddy book. So as this stuff grows, you've got more and more people joining these groups. You know, all this stuff is getting bigger and bigger. What are the biggest challenges that you have right now? What are you struggling with as you continue to grow this organization, this endeavor?
Yeah, I would say I'm at a point right now where my greatest challenge is that I need to be okay with you know, letting the community be the community. You know, right now our alliance is up almost nearly 100. The Dad Edge is 4,000. We've got another 4,000 who follow the Good Dad Project page. You know, we've got 150,000 downloads per month on the podcast. You know, I don't say this to brag. In fact, I often said to myself, like, I was like, oh man, if I could just like, you know, get this really, really big, like how cool would it be? And it is cool. It's very cool. But right now, I think every entrepreneur goes through what I'm going through. You know, John Lee Dumas went through it, and I'm sure the Lewis Howes of the world go through it and all that. But, you know, I get about 250 social media pings a day. I get, you know, probably, God only knows how many emails a day. It's a lot. And then, you know, on top of it, we're doing live mastermind groups and all that. So it's been incredible as far as, the amount of, I guess, attention the mission's getting. It's fascinating. And what I'm trying to do now, I mean, in every single stage I've ever done, I've always tried to, you know, pivot, you know, a little bit to what the demands are. And at this point in time, my pivot is like, there's only so much I can do as far as responses and that kind of thing. So what I do is I respond to all the critical things that need to be responded to. I go to all my guys who are paying to be a part of our community. So like the Alliance and the Masterminds and all that, I make sure that those guys have everything that they need. The Dad's Edge, I'm pretty active, but my priority are the guys who are here, who are purposely here, who are, you know, they're paying members. That is absolutely my focus. The other things can take a back burner for right now, which it took me a while to realize that, because you try to be everything to everyone. And what you tend to figure out is you become nothing to no one if that's what you do. So that's what I'm going through right now.
Yeah, I completely get that. I see that as I'm involved in the community. And I say this as someone that I like to think of myself as being very good at time management and productivity, much better than the average person, because I've studied it a lot and put a lot of things into place. And I am constantly in awe of the number of things that I see you get done and what's going on in these communities, and always wondering how the hell does he do that? And then I discovered the secret when I was texting with you the other day and you said you only sleep 3 hours a night. So as all of this has grown and taken so much of your time, has there been any drawbacks, any setbacks to your health in that regard in terms of like missing sleep? And are you making changes? It sounds like you are making changes to kind of adjust for that, and that you're letting some things go and figuring out that you just can't be everything to everyone all the time.
Yeah, the sleep thing, that was never on purpose. And that's something that's been just recent. What I think happened was, is I'm also training for the 20X, which is the SEALFIT 20X. And if you're not familiar with what that is, Mark Devine from SEALFIT puts on these camps that are called Kokoro 20X camps, where basically it's the 50-hour Navy SEAL Hell Week. They take 12 hours of that and they put you through it. And I've been training for that for 15 months. Well, 2 weeks ago, what I did was, is I put myself through three straight days of just, I think, the most intense workouts that I've ever been through in my entire life. It just, I think I taxed my body to the utmost extreme. And the reason that right now, I mean, I've always been a good 6 to 7 hour sleeper, but I think what happened was, is I fell into this loop where I couldn't get my body to recover. So my sleep was all messed up. I don't know if I maxed my adrenals or what I did, but I definitely did something. And then I kind of fell into this loop where I had a hard time sleeping. Since then, it's been about 2 weeks. You know, I'm getting my sleep back to normal. I don't sacrifice my sleep to get work done though, ever. Never have. Good. You know, I've never been the type of person. I mean, I might wake up at like 4:30 in the morning to get some things done, but that's pretty typical. But I'm not hey, I'm going to sleep from 11 to 2 a.m. so I can get back up and work again. Unfortunately, the past 2 weeks has just been a bit of a vicious cycle where I've slept pretty poorly due to, I think, the fact that my body's just trying to recover from what I did to it.
Yeah, and you bring up something interesting there. I think, and I've seen this, I used to be out in California in the startup world, and I've seen this so much. So many people get really involved in their businesses, especially entrepreneurs, and just start working those 70, 80, 90 hour weeks. They start sacrificing sleep so they can keep up with other things and say, you know, it's only for a short time because I've got to get my business over the top. I've got to get this, I've got to get that. And, you know, it starts to take a toll on their health after a while when you're sleeping 3 hours a night, especially intentionally. I know yours was unintentional. And, you know, you got to kind of stop and wonder, like, is it going to be worth it in the end? If you're able to build this business, but it takes 5-10 years off of your life or something because you're not sleeping or you're not getting exercise, you're not eating healthy, you're taking care of your life yourself, is it really going to be worth it? And that's the type of conversations I have with some of my clients, some of my friends too, because I want to make sure that people take care of themselves as well as trying to grow the business. And I know you're generally aware of that because you've got experts on all the time in the Alliance and the Mastermind. And we have those conversations to say, hey, I know you've got these big goals, but are you taking care of your relationships and your health and your sleep and everything else? So, you know, those things are definitely critical.
They are. I mean, sleep is foundational, and I'm learning that. I don't know if what I'm going through right now is sort of a crucible a bit, you know, of like, you know, just it's definitely making me realize some things in my life that are truly important. You know, but yeah, I agree. It's interesting to say the least.
Larry, as you pull back on some things, and I like that you're trying to find that balance and you knowing that you can't be there for everyone. And, you know, entrepreneurs, a lot of times when they become more successful, they kind of discover that they've got to be able to say no more often, right? Because otherwise they'll never get to where they're trying to go. Do you worry though, on the other side with something like the Dad's Edge community, as you pull back there and you said it kind of manages itself now, do you worry about it getting out of control and getting away from you? Because this is kind of your baby, something you've been building up for several months, and now it's almost kind of taking a mind of its own.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm still on there, and I still post, and I still moderate, and I'm still there and engage. Before I was kind of relentless with it, though. I would post several times a day and reply to everything and that kind of thing. But when you have, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 people, that becomes impossible,
right?
You know, to reply to everyone. So I don't do that so much anymore, but yeah, I mean, I have other people watching the page though, which is good. They give me a heads up when something finicky is going on. So, yeah.
Oh, that's good. I was going to ask you if you've also started to seek help in having, yeah, you know, assistants or administrators. I know you have some help with your social media kind of promotions and things like that, but it sounds like you've got some help in the group as well, which is good. So when you think about building out this whole thing and it becoming this bigger group and the podcast growing and all this stuff, is there anything else that, you know, that you worry about in all this, that you're afraid of? I don't know, something, you know, we talked about things possibly getting out of control or, you know, taking too much time away from your family or, you know, anything else that really concerns you as you go to build this community.
I think you always have to be, you know, very aware of your boundaries. I mean, I talk about boundaries a lot. You know, you have to be very, very aware of your boundaries to where, like, I mean, I shut it down, you know, in the evenings, and I have to shut it down in the evenings, because if I don't, it can be very, very consuming, you know? So you have to shut it down in the evening times. You have to shut it. I mean, cause what's the point of being a good dad unless you're totally distracted, you know what I mean?
Or what's the point in telling other people how to be a good dad if you're not going to go be a good dad yourself when you get home with your kids, right?
Exactly.
That's fantastic. So I was going to ask you, and I think that is a kind of a segue into it, and that's part of it. But, you know, I know a lot of entrepreneurs out there and certainly the audience that I believe listens to this podcast are going to be the more mature entrepreneurs who have kids who are trying to find that balance. And you've been in that place as well. A lot of people don't even realize you've got a job as well as you're running this business on the side, and you've got a family with 4 kids, right? So what advice would you give people who are trying to balance all these different things, trying to grow a business while also being present with their families and maintaining a good quality of life?
You have to have just relentless time management. That's really what it's all about. You have to have a time where you turn it on. You have to have a time where you switch it off, and you don't deviate. I would say that's the easiest thing to do. Whatever didn't get done today gets done tomorrow. That's just the way it goes. And, you know, it goes back to, I think about that quote from The Godfather, where after Don Corleone just got shot, and, you know, of course, Sonny Corleone is all upset, and, you know, he's this, he's that, he wants to, you know, and I think it was Uncle Tom who was talking to him, and he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, he's like, but Sonny, you got to understand, like, if we do this, if we do that, you know, business is going to suffer. And his reply is, well, business is just going to have to suffer. You know, and I think about that quote a lot, because like sometimes business just has to suffer. You know, I mean,
yep.
There are things in our lives that are more important. You know, our health, our family, those types of things. And sometimes business is just going to have to suffer.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people have a hard time, you know, they prioritize business over family and they have a hard time realizing that. I learned a lot about time management and made a lot of improvements after I read a book by a guy named Kevin Cruz, who wrote a book called 15 Things Successful People Know About Time Management. And one of the tenets in there is that people who are really good at time management, they go home at 5 o'clock. They know that even though there's more to do, it'll be there tomorrow. And that if they just, if they set the goal that they can't go home until they get everything done, they'll never go home. Exactly. And they'll never be with their family. So at some point you got to say, you know, hey, I got the two or three things, most important things done today that I needed to get done. I know there's all these other things. They'll be there tomorrow. I'm going to go home and spend time with my kids and I'll pick it back up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. or, you know, if you're early risers like us, 6 or 5 a.m., whatever it is, right? You got to kind of just let it go and put your priorities where they lie. So, Larry, I really appreciate you coming on here. For any dads that are out there that have not heard of you or are interested in the group and the podcast, where do they find you?
I mean, you can always find me at gooddadproject.com. That's where we house all the, you know, the podcasts and, you know, everything like that. There's also, if you're interested in the Alliance, you can head on over to the website. There's a tab that says the Dad Edge Alliance, or you can just go to gooddadproject.com/Alliance. It gives you all the information, all the really cool things that we do over in that group, all the cool things that the guys are a part of that they get exposed to. And the thing that I want to point out though, is I never try to sell the Alliance ever. And that's because I don't want people there who don't want to be there. And I pride myself on that. Membership fees come and go, but it's the integrity of the man that I am most interested in, that the group is most interested in. If a man with the wrong mentality, and perfect example here, because there are some guys, I always like to have a one-on-one conversation for at least 15 minutes before a man joins the Alliance. Sometimes that happens, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I can tell how they are by their posts on social media. But you know, if a man is egotistical, arrogant, judgmental, I don't care if they paid $4,000 to be a part of the Alliance, they would not be a part of the Alliance. The Alliance is only $67 a month. And, you know, there's a lot of really great things we do in there and a lot of things that the guys are exposed to. Most importantly, though, beyond becoming a member is humility. Humility, integrity, and respect. We talk a lot about, you know, if we're on weekly calls with guys and we all interact with each other. And I've seen it firsthand that sometimes it only takes one person to be arrogant, to be judgmental, to be egotistical, and it destroys another man. So
wait, you're not talking about me, right?
I am actually. No. But yeah, I'm talking about you. But what I will say is, most men ask me, well, who's the Alliance for? Who's the masterminds for? My answer is always the same. The mastermind and the Alliance, it's for men who are hungry. It's for men who are hungry to live life differently and to live life as a tribe versus on your own little island. I use this quote a lot. And I use this quote a lot because I used to live this quote every day. And that is, most men will live a life of quiet desperation, all by themselves. You don't have to live that way. You absolutely don't have to live that way. And what I think men get when they come to the Alliance, when they come to the masterminds, are they get that tribe. They get that support. They get the, I look at the Alliance and the masterminds as my board of advisors. So like, for instance, if I want to bounce something off of someone that I know is operating at an elite level, you know, mentally, that they're humble, that they're ego-free, that they're respectful, I know I'm going to get a heartfelt answer. You know, I know I'm going to get pointed probably in the right direction. And if you have the wrong people in communities like that, it can destroy a community. So that's my takeaway with the Alliance, is if you are a man, you know, you're looking for a tribe, you know, you don't have an ego out of this world. You're humble and you're hungry. You know, this is probably something you'd really enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't say enough about how great an experience it's been for me so far, and the community you've created of these other men who are humble, who have integrity, who are respectful, and everybody just loves getting to know each other, finding ways to help each other. I mean, I can tell you when I went to start this podcast, which was actually the goal I put down in my mastermind group, I started talking to people in the Alliance and the mastermind group who have podcasts, including you, and getting advice. And people were, you know, more than happy to come out and offer that advice and to help, which has just been fantastic. And I love doing the same thing for others. And I would say, you know, for anybody listening, especially, you know, if you're not a father, you're a woman, or you're not a father, or maybe this just doesn't feel the right, like the right fit for you, find something, find a community. If you're an entrepreneur, find the community, whether it's a mastermind group or a small group of entrepreneurs that you know, that you could talk about stuff with, that you can have those conversations, you can share your challenges and your questions. Because I've heard it so many times that entrepreneurs say they feel like they're on an island. You know, they feel like they can't go to their spouse with their struggles because they don't want them to know that they're having these, you know, these problems. And so they need someone to talk to. And that's where the beauty of, you know, whether it's a kind of a mastermind group or an alliance or hiring a coach, something that will allow you to discuss some of these things, get the advice you need, get the support you need, and help you achieve your goals. So Larry, thanks again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I think I love and admire everything you've accomplished so far. I love being part of the community, and I really appreciate you coming on here and sharing some of your story and your wisdom.
And thanks for having me. It's been an honor. It's been a pleasure, and appreciate you having me on.
You got it, man. I will catch you later.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks for listening to Entrepreneur Hot Seat. Please don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any questions or comments, or if you're looking for ways to take your life and business to the next level, you can send me an email at andy@andystorch.com. That's andy@andystorch.com. Take care.